They're going to hear a lot about the Affordable Care Act this week and next week. We're not ready to give up on the Affordable Care Act yet. And I know you all agree with me. You're shaking your head yes. So we know that treatment works. We know that recovery is possible. We know that you can have a life in the community. We also know that prevention works, and prevention can lead to resiliency, and resiliency can lead to good health, which is what this is all about and what the Affordable Care Act is really all about. So I want to go through several things here with you. Obviously, we're thrilled with the Supreme Court decision, and the bullets here are significant. So the ACA will add coverage for 32 million people, 16 million people in the Medicaid expansion, and 16 million people through the affordable insurance exchanges. 11 million of those 32 million people are people who already have behavioral health problems, and probably 60% of the 11 million are people who have primary substance use conditions because they have been excluded from Medicaid since 1998. The ACA provides a safe harbor for those with severe illnesses because you can no longer be excluded from insurance because of pre-existing conditions and because there are no longer any annual or lifetime limits. The traditional model of a person getting schizophrenia, burning through their insurance, burning through their family resources, and ending up on Medicaid should not be true anymore. And finally, whole health for those with multiple conditions and a focus on disease prevention and health promotion, which we've not had. Currently, we spend 96 cents out of every dollar on care. Most of that money is spent on people in the last 2 weeks of life. The ACA intends to move 30% of that money, 30% of $3.3 trillion, into prevention and promotion and the social and physical determinants of health. Now we need to move into the implementation of the ACA, which means becoming involved, working together, working quickly, and working smartly. So we'd love to have all of you, first action here, join the National Coalition for Whole Health. And the listing we're passing around, I'll send you an email to see if you would like to do that, and if you would, we'll plug you into that process. 50 years of federal spending can be done very briefly. On the left, we go back to 1962. Less than $1 billion was spent on health care, down in the footnotes on the lower left. On a $100 billion budget, go over to 2011. A $3.3 trillion federal budget and $880 billion on Medicaid and Medicare. If you add to that the fact that we're going to go from 12 to 18% elderly in the U.S. in the next 20 years, that's basically unsustainable unless we do something like the Affordable Care Act. The sun is setting on one system, and being in California here, I've never heard anybody in California say, my God, what an ugly sunset that is. They are. Same way about the sun is rising on another system here, which we want to talk about a little bit. So some of the mini trends, important, and you know all these trends, whole health, person-centered care, and recovery are advancing rapidly. These are things we can bring into health reform. Peer support and health navigation are advancing rapidly and will become ubiquitous in the era of health reform. So a few things about Medicaid. Medicaid is being transformed in response to the current recession. Three key things. Managed care will become ubiquitous in Medicaid, and the states are all rushing to do that right now, but it will not become ubiquitous through traditional managed care. It'll become ubiquitous through case and capitation rates. So we have a whole new set of work to do to understand case and capitation rates and how behavioral health care fits into these. Integrated care will become ubiquitous and will extend to social services. You know, and I know, and we all know, that national health reform cannot work unless we provide wraparound social services to people in the Medicaid expansion and a huge number of the people in the affordable insurance exchanges. And then thirdly, the underlying model will change from care delivery to prevention and promotion delivery plus care delivery, which I mentioned earlier. Now, a few comments about the ACA. The ACA is very person-centered, and we all know about person-centered care and involving people in their own care and looking at the whole person and sharing decisions. We pioneered in those fields in behavioral health care. This is some of the things we can bring back into the Affordable Care Act as we begin working with others. The immediate agenda here. So if there are three things you leave my talk with, you need to leave with the three things. Right now, work is ongoing on the essential health benefit. On September 30th, every state was to submit an essential health benefit for its affordable insurance exchange and for its Medicaid expansion. As of a few days ago, 21 states had done that. Now, if your state did not submit something, that doesn't mean you don't have one. You then go into the default plan, which is the largest small business plan in your state. And that's also a known thing. We've sent this out, and I'd be glad to send this out to you. The critical thing in the essential health benefit is that it have a decent mental health and substance use benefit, and that that benefit be at parity. So if you're not tuned in to what your state is doing, you need to become tuned into that. You need to pay attention to how the Secretary of HHS is responding to what your state has done and so on. That benefit will drive what you're going to be able to do in the Medicaid expansion, because it will be the floor benefit for the Medicaid expansion. It will also be the floor benefit for the Affordable Insurance Exchange. The Medicaid expansion, another deadline coming up on November 30th. Your state has to tell the Secretary of HHS whether you intend to do the Medicaid expansion now. And I can say that easily. That's going to be a difficult road to hoe for many states, and you need to pay attention to that. However, it is a must-do type activity, and if you look at the financing of it, the financing is must-do for a state, even a state like Texas, with the type of governor the state has, basically. Texas has a 30% on insurance rate, 30%, so 30% of the people in the state don't have insurance. The Medicaid expansion would bring Texas, between now and 2020, $52.5 billion of federal funds in return for a state investment of $2.5 billion. So if I told you, I came to you and said, you know, I'm going to give you $52.5 billion if you give me $2.5, what would you do? Think about it. So the critical issue here for us in behavioral health is we need to build some new partnerships to do this. The partnerships will include the insurance industry and the hospital industry. If your state does not do the Medicaid expansion, your hospitals are going to be left holding the bag on uninsured care, emergency room care, because the disproportionate share funds from Medicaid and Medicare are going to begin disappearing in 2014, and by 2018 they will be completely gone. So I do not believe your hospital industry will stand by and watch this happen and not take any action. The insurance industry has a huge amount of business to gain by the Medicaid expansion. Over 10 years, well over $1 trillion in 10 years. So they are obvious allies to us and to the disability community in moving this agenda. Then the third deadline here, the Affordable Insurance Exchange, on January 1st of 2013, the Secretary of HHS will need to make a determination in your state about whether your state will be ready to implement its Affordable Insurance Exchange by October 1st of 2013. Sandra Goodwin is sitting by me here from California. California is the poster child for doing this. They will be ready, I have no doubt, on January 1st that the Secretary will be making that determination. The issue is, will the Secretary also be making that determination for your state? And you need to be involved in that. You need to understand where that process is and where it's hung up or why it's not developing. I would say on the Affordable Insurance Exchange, there are only about a quarter of the states that are actively working on this right now. So the probability is you are coming from a state that's not actively working on that issue. So these are the three next immediate steps that we need to take to move the Affordable Care Act. And the Coalition for Whole Health at the national level is working on this. And we encourage, if you do not have a state coalition for whole health, we will work with you to develop one in your own state. I'm not going to say much about parity here. We'll come back to do that in questions. I want to be sensitive to the time here. So I want to do a quick little bit on the three features of the Affordable Care Act. One, the Medicaid expansion. So the intent is to go live on January 1st of 2014, that it cover everybody in the state who doesn't currently have insurance, who has an income up to 138% of poverty, and 100% of the cost of this expansion will be paid for by the federal government between 2014 and 2016, after which it will decrease gradually to 90% federal percentage of participation and not ever fall below that. Don't let anyone in your state tell you your state cannot afford to do the Medicaid expansion. That's a false argument. And that what will happen when, as the states do this, they will supplant state funding with federal funding. And the states are already planning to do that. Some of you are shaking your head, yes. So the critical issue here is 40% of these people in the Medicaid expansion will already have behavioral health conditions, and that's about 6.5 million people. So the questions are, what is the status in your state? Have you begun your advocacy? Is your advocacy organized? And have you identified key traditional and non-traditional partners for your advocacy? The second piece, the Affordable Insurance Exchange, also intended to go live on January 1st of 2014 to cover everybody above 138% of poverty who currently is uninsured, everybody between 138% and 400% of poverty will receive a federal tax subsidy on a sliding scale. And the goal of that, obviously, is that we would have a situation where no one would have to say, I don't have health insurance because I can't afford health insurance. Critical issue here, about 25% of these people, or 4 million of these 16 million people, will be people who already have a behavioral health condition. Again, what is the status in your state? Have you begun your advocacy? Is your advocacy organized? And have you identified key traditional and non-traditional partners for that work? The coverage mandate, this is the piece of the Affordable Care Act everybody loves. So starting on September 23rd of 2010, no one under the age of 19 could be excluded from insurance because they had a pre-existing condition. Everybody up to age 26 could remain on their family policy, and there are 3 million people who are now covered through that mechanism. There are no longer any annual or lifetime limits on health insurance. The managed care companies and the insurance companies now must spend at minimum 80%, if they're a small plan, or 85% if they're a large plan, on health care rather than on investments or other things. And this is the first year that's in effect. So you may actually have gotten a card from your own insurance company saying, we met the federal requirements this year, or we did not meet the federal requirements and we are rebating some funds to you. Jumping ahead, essential health benefits, the same questions. I'm not going to go through these again. What is the status? What is the benchmark plan, et cetera, et cetera? We've already talked about that. Final comment here on health homes and ACOs. The goal is by 2020, virtually everybody in the United States have a health home, and that health home will be organized into units called accountable care organizations. There's a lot of arguments that can be made about this. The point for behavioral health is we need to be at the table as these accountable care organizations are created to develop health homes. You know that public clients need health homes, and we need to work on this. We are not going hat in hand. There are things we can bring to the accountable care organization and to the health home. I mentioned them already. We can bring recovery. We can bring resiliency. We can bring peer support, and we can bring health navigation to that process. So the next steps, continue to advocate through the American Public Health Association. We're very pleased that the American Public Health Association now has liaison with the Coalition for Whole Health that began this year, and some of the members of the Mental Health and Substance Abuse section can tell you about that. You need to create a state coalition for whole health if you don't have one, and we will help you do that. And you need to identify a strategy officer in your own organization who will help you think through this issue. So with that, I'm going to stop and turn it over to my next colleague, I guess, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.